And now we've hired over 35 virtual assistants or remote team members for other people. And we just do it like a one-time fee basis. So we like go find them, take a fee, place them with the business, then they're off and running.
You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast, weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
We are live with Brian. What's going on, bro?
Not much, Connor. It's good to talk to you again.
We just had Johnny back on the podcast again. And it was cool because we get to, like, I feel like anytime I go and started recording with somebody that I've never met before, it's always like, oh, I don't know where to push the boundaries. I don't really know what I can say. Actually, having talked to you through a while now, having on the podcast before, makes it a little bit more familiar, which I like. In terms of how I want this episode to go, we're just kind of riffing on it. You just started a new company. Do you want to maybe talk about what Elevate and Delegate is a little bit?
Yeah, we started a new company. We basically, in my business, and I can't remember how much we got into this before or if we got into it at all, but you know, like last year, had a son, needed to delegate some things off my plate, hired a virtual assistant. Really, they're a remote team member. You know, they work just as hard, if not harder, than anyone else that works for me. And they help delegate, you know, I help delegate a lot of admin tasks to them to help run my cleaning business. It's like a B2B, you know, just janitorial services business. And so a lot of that is like cold outreach, recruiting, different things like that. And so I made an awesome hire. It was great. And started helping some friends. I helped Liam and I helped Johnny a little bit with some things like here and there, you know, do this, don't do that. Cause I learned some of those lessons the hard way. Like definitely, first girl I hired, like did not have any of the computer specs we needed. So like had to buy her a computer. There's a lot of things to avoid and a lot of like tips and tricks and stuff. And so I started doing that for a lot of people and I was like, well, this is going to be a business now because I can't do this for free. And now we've hired over 35 virtual assistants or remote team members for other people. And we just do it like a one-time fee basis. So we like go find them, take a fee, place them with the business, then they're off and running. And we're not like taking like a percentage of the wages or anything like that. And so like customers have been really happy and obviously the VAs that we're placing, we placed two yesterday, seems to be going extremely well. So,
and it's like a pure headhunter model too, right? So it's like, I don't know how your business works, but it's like, we find you top talent. They cost you like $15,000 a year. And we, you know, take $2,000 as a finder fee kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then like the only time you have to pay us again would be like, hey, like I want to go find another one. So like we'll do that then. And we even do a discount for that. But yeah, because it's just, people like it a lot more. Like, you know, recurring revenue is great for the business who's charging recurring revenue. Like, I love recurring revenue just as much as the next guy, but like it doesn't always align incentives correctly. So
from my standpoint, selfishly, I wanted to have this conversation because so at this point now run a couple of different businesses. On the real estate side, we just hired like a virtual assistant over in the Philippines. And I feel like I even catch myself on this a lot too. I use the word virtual assistant for like everything. In reality, she's kind of like more of an operations manager across the three properties that we have. And so she's really going out there and like coordinating with the boots on the ground people, setting up mailers, you know, getting quotes and all that kind of stuff. And I'll kind of dive into some of like the tasks that we're having her work on as well. But she's like an absolute all-star. And now I'm in this position where I'm like, cool, we're having her do stuff. I want to figure out like how to go and get the most out of her. And then on the other side of things, we've hired an entire team of like operations and support over out of the Philippines as well, who are like running circles around some of this American talent that we're seeing coming through like LinkedIn jobs and all of that. So I want to go and like selfishly have this conversation because I want to figure out like, now that we kind of have more of an operations manager who are also like wears two hats as like an executive assistant too, what kind of things can I be delegating to her that I'm maybe not even thinking about? And what are some of like the benefits and also maybe even some of like the risks on all of that too. So with that in mind, I figured like the best way to go and structure this is just like riff back and forth on like maybe some of the things that you've delegated already that you see like being super valuable. And we can just like build up a big list and like kind of aggregate that throughout the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole bunch of things that, that I've been able to, you know, delegate or work on. I will say like one of these things that happens is like as a, whatever you want to call it, entrepreneur, small business owner, like just like somebody like, you know, what's like, Colin is always on Twitter saying like builders build, right? So like if you're building things, like that takes a lot of research and takes a lot of time. And like, you know, like if you're working on your current projects, you don't always have time for new projects and stuff like that. So one of the things that's been really cool is like having my virtual assistant help me start this next agency, like help me find the talent that I need. Right. Yeah. And like help me build the systems and processes. Because like, yes, I know how to use Notion. Yes, I know how to like go build SOPs, but like if someone could help me with that, then we should do that. And so
absolutely.
I'll start by saying like, I've, you know, a lot of people are really hot on Notion right now, or different kinds of like no code tools and different things like that for keeping organized and, kind of like having all your processes be like at least, you know, online. My VAs help, you know, they've built Notion boards. They'll shoot like Loom videos and like drop them in there. Like, this is how you do the task. So it's like they figure things out and then they teach us how, you know.
On that note, because I basically, as we're chatting, I'm just going to start building a list, right? So like the number one thing that you can go and have your assistant do or operations manager, whatever, is start building out your Notion to keep your business more organized and more structured. So when I think about something like that, are you basically, when you first go and bring them in, saying like, hey, go watch these 20 Notion tutorial YouTube videos? Or are you kind of screening people out in the interview process of saying like, must have Notion experience?
So there's like must haves and then there's like nice to haves. So like must haves in the interview experience is like, have you worked for an American firm for like 5 to 10 years? If yes, that's a good thing. It means that you're comfortable communicating in English all day. You know, your English skills are really solid. You've proven that you have like a track record. So like those are like must haves. And then, you know, there's like nice to haves, which are like, do you have experience with Notion? No, you don't. Well, you know, it's not uncommon for us to have applicants say like, I don't have experience with Notion, but I watched 3 videos and I built this Notion board. And like, what do you think of like how far I got, you know? And we say, awesome, right? But you have to go through a lot of candidates to like find people like that. But they are out there. I tell people, don't look for like experience in a specific software. Look for like willingness to learn, effectiveness, shows up on time, normal, those kinds of things.
Okay. And so when you're saying that you're going and training them to like build out these Notion boards, is it essentially like, hey, like here's a few like models that we like, go and kind of like try to convert ours over to something similar, make this section for all of like the filing documents, maybe this section for like accounts payable or like the invoices that we have to hold? Or how do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, they help, you know, build a lot of the systems, the processes themselves. I give guidelines and then I give feedback, right? So it's like, I want you to do the first draft and then I can make suggestions and edits. If your first draft is like totally off the mark, then like, okay, yes, I'm going to give you more guidance. But if they're going to do it the right way the first time anyways, like, why am I spending my time trying to, you know, figure out?
How important is it for you? I guess it probably depends on the role a little bit, but like, fluency in English?
It absolutely depends on the role. So if you're hiring somebody that's going to be calling US based companies, their English needs to be really, really, really good. And most people, I would say the average person in the Philippines is like 85-90% proficient. That is good for like 85-90% of roles. And then there's the last 10%, which is like, you know, you're hiring somebody to like help you create videos or like help you. There's so many things where like the English has to be perfect. And like, it's nothing to do with like, oh, you can't have this job because you can't speak perfect English. But it's like, if they're a video editor and like, they're making like a couple grammatical errors, that's an issue, right? Like, it has to be perfect. But there's other roles. There's plenty of other roles, like a bookkeeper, for example, whereas like, you don't need someone with perfect English to do your bookkeeping. Like, so don't worry about it. Right. And that will, you know, that will help you find better candidates. If you don't make things, unless they're absolutely a requirement, don't make them a requirement.
Smart. I was going to say, so I'm going to mark that down as number two use case of bookkeeping, because we actually recently just hired an absolute all-star over in the Philippines to do our bookkeeping across 3 or 4 different businesses. And I think it's very important because I get this question a lot when I started telling people that I'm doing this. Bookkeeping, substantially different than accounting. What this person is doing is going through and reconciling the books, reconciling transactions. They're not advising me on the US tax code or like how to go and file with the IRS or anything. They're just basically keeping things organized. And I will say, like, with this bookkeeper, last month, for 2 months, she billed me across two or three different businesses. The total amount was $48. And so I see that, and I'm like, this is fantastic. Okay, like this is really good. I'm looking through all of these, like she's made like monthly P&Ls and monthly balance sheets. And I was like, all of this stuff is exactly what I would have done. And it's flawless. Now, again, same thing. Like she's not emailing me like, Connor, like, have you thought about doing this like depreciation schedule for like this property you just bought? Like, no, that's not her job at all. It's solely to say revenue came in, these expenses came out, and it's categorized under such. And it's been super helpful. I will say on all of that though, I took like one, maybe two accounting classes in college, and screening bookkeepers in an interview process was like the most confusing thing in the world for me. Cause I'm basically going in and I'm saying like, have you used QuickBooks? And everyone's like, yeah, obviously. And I'm like, okay, that's pretty much like the main criteria I was looking for. So like, I don't really know what else to ask here. So it was a little confusing, and I'll attribute most of the success we've had with our current hire to luck. But that's definitely like something that's kind of interesting that I've learned from a manager perspective. It's like, if you've never really done the job before, knowing the right questions to ask to like weed out the wrong candidate is a little bit tough.
Yeah, that's something that's really important. So I've got a lot of experience now hiring virtual assistants, and my team has, right? Because I have a team there that's helping me do this. And they know what to look for, especially in certain roles. And then in other roles, like we have to do more to figure out and make sure that they're actually going to be good, you know, a good fit. You know, like it's easy to find someone with experience in Excel, but like, for example, right now we're trying to find somebody that's more of an analyst, and it's harder, right? Because we didn't know how to vet them. Fortunately, we have set up some systems now with some testing and things where, you know, we're able to vet them pretty hard. We have a series of, you know, there's like over 200 tests in this software that we use that we can give to them. And so like everyone that like we vet, they take like a personality test, like an IQ test, like a test on the actual, and then a test on the actual things that they'd be doing. So if it's QuickBooks, then like they would take a test on QuickBooks, right? We do all that work for you. Like when we help people hire VAs or hire remote people, but yeah, I mean, it can be a challenge. Like that's why we do what we do.
The test part is really crucial too. Cause I remember about a month ago, I was hiring pretty much our last customer service rep, and we were in between two, both really strong candidates. And I ended up giving both of them, I was like, okay, I really can't decide here. Let me just go and give them like a situation. It's like, you know, this product lost in transit, customer upset, here's our policy, you respond. And they're like, they basically sent me back a script of what they would say. And one person crushed it, like a better response than I could have even written. And the other person was like, like 8 out of 10. And I was like, perfect. That's all I need. So usually tests can be really good indicators there too. I will say, just to chime in on one of the things that we've been using people for to kind of like give like a third use case. If anybody is listening to this that's in real estate and like doing like some like property or project management turnover things, a big thing that you always want to go and look out for is getting as many quotes as humanly possible on like just about every project you're doing. And the virtual assistant or operations manager that we hired, Naomi, has been a beast for that. Like she's going out and getting like painting quotes, electrical quotes, sign quotes, gate quotes, like everything imaginable. And she's getting like 12 of them each and calling people and like giving them the specs. And so now, rather than us sitting down, researching people, calling them, explaining them what we want, organizing things, we just open up a Notion page and there's a spreadsheet with like, you know, 8 different tasks or projects with all the different quotes, with all the specs, when people are coming on site to like give their estimate and all of that stuff. And it's been phenomenal, like a huge time save for us.
That's exactly. So that's very similar to what we do in our business, where we're using VAs to help screen candidates for actual jobs. So like a remote hire who's based in the Philippines will call people who apply to work with us and actually talk, like do the first round of interviews, right? It's all recorded. It's all like written down. It's all like systematized, but like she does that because it takes a ton of time to do it, and it never stops. Like time that there's like a new thing that needs to go on at your storage facility. Yeah, you have to get like 5 quotes or whatever, right? That's the same whether we are growing as a janitorial business and we need more help, we're going to need people. Or if someone quits randomly, which happens, like, we're going to need new people then. So
yeah, so screening candidates and that kind of stuff. I think that that'll be number four. Number five, I'll kind of add to that as well, that we're working on right now, is when we do need to go and hire more boots on the ground people, like having somebody be the one who posts those Indeed jobs. And also, like, it's kind of like similar to that, but like actually recruiting is a really helpful one.
Yeah, and absolutely. And there's also something to be said for looking at places like that aren't Indeed, especially when you're looking for contractors. Go look in either local Facebook groups or Facebook, like Facebook Marketplace type stuff, or Craigslist, because there's a lot of contractors that like don't have websites. They don't have nothing. Like, unless you're mm-hmm. looking, you wouldn't know that they exist. And that leads to another one, which is just looking through Facebook groups, right? So you might be selling a product or service that a lot of people need. And there's plenty of Facebook groups that are really active that like have 10,000 or more people in them, right? If somebody says they need product X or service X, you're not going to be scouring through the Facebook group or whatever and reaching out. But, you know, it's worth having your virtual assistant go in there and check and say, we do offer this service, especially if it's like a local group. Check the local moms group every day mm-hmm. to see who is looking for a good daycare. Your daycare sends them a message and says like, hey, reach out to us. You know,
so smart. I feel like you can probably categorize that too under just like this broad entity of like scraping, like data scraping as a whole. Cause I think like that one's a little bit tougher because like you're actively monitoring like 99% of those posts you probably don't care too much about. But like another one that we're going to begin training Naomi on now is how to go and pull interesting LoopNet deals that pop up, because I honestly just don't care to spend all day looking through commercial real estate in Texas on LoopNet. But if there's something that meets our criteria of like this square footage percentage or like this dollar per square footage or like these general areas, having her go and send like a daily curated list is a really helpful way.
Curating lists and doing right research, that's like one of the best things, right? Especially if you're looking at doing a new project.
Where do you, that's six, seven. I'm going to just tell a story of, and kind of get your opinion on this. Where do you draw the line of like, hey, this is just like kind of a very remedial task that like you could be doing yourself versus outsourcing? Because the perfect example that I'm thinking of is, we were watching Netflix or something the other night, and we wanted to watch, some show, I forget what it was, on Paramount Plus. And Paramount Plus just has like a free 7-day trial, but like everyone knows you forget to go and cancel the trial, and great, now I'm paying for another streaming service. And so Gio signed up for it and then messaged Naomi, was like, hey, just as a heads up, next Wednesday, go in, here's my login, here's my password, cancel my Paramount Plus account. Like, do you think that like, cause at that point Gio could realistically just set a reminder on his phone and cancel it himself. But do you think that like using stuff like that is actually more helpful and beneficial, or is it just kind of like, hey, you're just like, you're kind of, I don't know, just outsourcing stuff that you should just be doing?
There's a lot of things like, okay, I want to book a little trip that like with my wife, I want to go somewhere and like, there's hundreds of restaurants. I just want like five and like, you know, in the town, and like, I just want five, like one night we want to do Mexican. So like, give me five like good Mexican places, like, you know, and then another night we want to do like American. So give me three of those places or whatever. And at least narrowing it down so you can be like, bang, 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 or like put together a proposed schedule, right? Mm. And then like, I can approve it, or just, that's probably a better use, because that time, I don't know, you know, Gio, you do you, man.
So on that, okay, I'm writing down seven as like trivial reminders and like random stuff like that. Like, hey, you know, wife's birthday is coming up, or like, you know, mom's parents' anniversary is coming up, like shoot me a reminder like a little bit before or something like that. And like, maybe with some gift ideas. The question I have, because I travel a lot, and I think you know that, is like, when it comes to actual travel booking, I personally would love to go and outsource that stuff. Like, hey, on the like as a perfect example, today's April 20th, 420. Woo. And on May 1st, I'm going to be flying from, I want to say, Dallas to Philly. Now, my question becomes, like, I'm fine having her book that, but how do I necessarily know if it's like the flight that I would have booked for myself? Like, do you set parameters for that kind of stuff? And like, same goes for like, if I have to go and book an Airbnb or something like that, like, I know what I would like, but like, are there cultural differences or like communication issues that you found ways to go and like resolve?
Yeah, the best thing that I would say, and I don't do a ton of travel right now just with the little one, but I would say make a Loom video, explain your thought process of like, okay, I come to Airbnb, I look at one of, like, I pick one of these out, like, just think, like, say out loud what you're thinking, right? So you just go through the video and you say, like, I like this price range. It usually only needs to have one bedroom, like, one bathroom. It, like, I like for it to be close to the airport, ideally less than 10 minutes, you know, or 20 minutes or whatever. And then just, you know, give them a criteria, right? And then just say, like, every time I want to have, like, 3 recommendations. And then you send them to me, you like send me the price, you send me the link, and then I just give you a thumbs up on the one that I want and you book it. That's it. And then you send me the booking receipt and I just say, look, this looks good. You know, I think so. Especially if you do a lot of travel, that's the advantage of working with somebody like freelancers and stuff are cool, but like they're really not working for you. And so they're not going to know how you work. Right. It's important if you can to have someone full time. We only do full time placements. So I don't know if I told you that, but like we only help find people that are like working for folks full time. And the reason is because there's a lot more success when you have somebody that's like dedicated to your business and not trying to juggle like 25 different things.
That completely makes sense. I've noticed that too. Also from their standpoint, then they don't want to go and get another job or two just to go and make ends meet. They'd rather just have one person have their be their main source of income. Okay, so I've got a couple follow-up questions on this now. First of all, how much would you say, let's say you want somebody to not necessarily just be like an executive assistant and book flights and manage email and manage calendars and stuff like that. That I think you can get pretty affordably. But let's say you want somebody who's like, hey, I want somebody who's like a killer, can come in, really like show up on day one and like overperform. Like I've been incredibly impressed with our operations manager, Naomi, because we'll give her a vague task that I'm like, oh shit, like, honestly, like if I got that task, like I don't know if I would do this 100% perfectly. And she crushes it every single time. And I've been blown away by her performance. Let's say you want to go and somebody comes up to you and says, Brian, I want to go and hire somebody who could do that. How much would you say that they typically cost?
I like the $800 to $1,200 a month range. Sometimes a little bit more than that, depending on what they're going to be doing. Like, you know, what kind of work they were doing. Frame of reference, that's for full-time work. So I guess be like $6 an hour is, yeah. So, you know, if it's $250 a week, that's $1,000 a month approximately. And so, yeah, I mean, very reasonable to find somebody that's very talented. And it goes up from there. I mean, we've made hires now that you would have no idea that they're in the Philippines. I mean, the most perfect English ever. If that's what you're looking for and you're willing to pay up for it, like, especially, you know, find somebody that's $1,500 a month, they're going to be incredible. And you don't have to go up that high, but that skill is available. But most of the hires I would say that we're making are between $800 and $1,200 a month. And that is satisfactory for all the roles we're placing.
We hired Naomi for $1,200 per month, which I believe comes out to like $750 per hour. And like when I say like she crushes it, like we are blown away. So it is really cool to kind of see like the difference in performance and stuff like that. Especially if you're willing to go pay. Like we even, so for customer support roles, we like made a shift recently where we went from like paying $3 an hour to paying $5 an hour, and the candidate pool just dramatically changed. So I do think like the small marginal difference of maybe some of these US businesses is like a drastic difference in terms of like at least Filipino talent where we've been hiring.
Yeah, I actually just did an interview today with a guy who was trying to get a new job, right? We're placing him with a new business. And I said, like, why are you looking for a new job? And he said, well, my last work environment was toxic. And I said, okay, like, what does that mean? So he said, well, I was making, he said, I was working like 50 hour weeks and I was making, but I was only getting paid for 40 hour weeks and I was making $1.50 an hour. And I said, seriously? He said, yes, it's for crypto, such and such. I said, oh my gosh. So he's working for some crypto scam bro guy, you know, working his tail off and not being paid. And it's like, this guy was willing to go above and beyond and he was barely being paid. Like, if you pay these people appropriately, like if you pay them well and you treat them with respect, like they are going to go above and beyond for you. They want you to be successful. They want your business to be successful. And you can really help them make their lives better too. So, you know, there's good ways to do this and there's not good ways to do this. And a big part of that is paying them appropriately. So just pay them a wage that makes sense and communicate that with, as part of what we do is we talk to them about what makes sense for a wage, but you need to have a good communication with them and not just say, like, if they say, like, yes, I will take 500 a month or 700 a month, press them and say, like, is that actually, like, is that adequate? And you don't want anyone in that situation. You want people to be thriving. So
one of the things that I sometimes feel somewhat guilty about is that we made the decision to do a full-time hire because, like you said, I think we get better talent. I think from their standpoint, there's more stability. They don't have to find another job. We're kind of like the main focus. But right now, the scale we're at for most things, like, it just doesn't take 40 hours a week to do the work that we're assigning. It's probably more like 25. So like there's definitely, like, today is an example, it's a perfect example. Naomi was crushing it all week. We were giving her a ton of tasks. And then today I gave her basically like 2 hours worth of work. So nothing crazy. Like, do you find that you'll have a lot of people coming to you where it's like, hey, I really want to go and hire someone good, but like, I only need it for like 20 hours a week. Like, do you find that from like an applicant standpoint, it's frustrating to them, or what have you seen there?
No, I mean, if you're paying them adequately and there's stability in the role, no one wants to work for a job where they think, oh, I'm only working 25 hours a week, so I might get let go, right? But there are a lot of people who, like, yeah, I mean, if all you have that week is 25 hours a week of work, like, we'd all like a day off, right? Or like, yeah, a half minute, you know, to take a half day. Like, they appreciate that too from time to time if that's what you got. Keeping that in mind, what I would say is, like, a lot of people think that, oh, I have like only 20 hours of work for them to do, but it's like 20 hours for you to do, which means like the first time they do it, it might take them 60 hours. Right.
Right.
And so keep that in mind. Like, a lot of times at first it takes a while. And once you get comfortable, like, delegating, you know, 10, 20 hours a week of work, you'll start to find other things like, oh, okay, now we can give you this, right? Things you never even thought you could delegate, you start to delegate. I'm sure you've probably seen that.
What is something, so let's, all right, right now we've got about 8 things on the list here. Let's see what else we can kind of like crank up. I've got some stuff, but they're more cut and dry things that we've also been using Naomi for, and I'll get to that if it comes to it. But I'd love to kind of know other ways that you've gone and hired people, because I think people are going to listen to this and just want more ideas. I'm like, hey, what are some things that I'm doing in my life right now that I don't subconsciously realize that I'm doing that I can actually go and outsource to make my life better? Do you have other examples from people, whether that's business or personal related?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, right? So, you know, trying to get a little bit healthier. We were just talking about before the call, like, you know, my VAs have helped me do meal planning before, where it's like, I give them parameters, like certain meals we like to eat. Can you please send me, for us, like, I have a wife and son, so it's like pretty busy because she works. And so it's like every day, like in my Google Calendar, it says like, this is the meal, like, here's the instructions at 6 o'clock every night. And so I could just like pop it open and like the directions are already there. I'm not like scrolling all the way through like the stupid recipe app. And that's how we make sure, like, we're not just eating the same things all the time.
This last interview we had, it was like, you were like, hey, just prep some stuff, order it on Instacart, whatever. And you got like 2 weeks worth of fish, if I remember, fish and beans, if I can remember correctly.
Yeah, that was what was in the original meal plan. So what I did was I went and I looked at, like, I basically just like created a Pinterest board of, I don't know if it's through Pinterest or where, but I just like saved a ton of links over like a week long period. I was like, this looks good, this looks good, you know, had my wife add some things. And so now it's like, pick from this list of 200 things. Here, we're not eating like chicken, like every day. That was that's a good example of like, once I gave her some parameters, she could thrive. But like, you probably shouldn't say like, book me travel anywhere.
Okay, cool. So and so now are you at the point where like, not like, do you get things Instacarted? Like, is she basically like, hey, Brian's gonna go and like, you know, these 12 meals, here's roughly the ingredients, somebody needs to cook all of these, let's load it up in an Instacart and then send it his way?
So we like to go grocery shopping after church on Sundays. So we like just hit up the grocery store and we go through, but with the list that I already have made, but I could easily do Instacart. Like we've done Walmart pickup with it before.
What else do we have after meal prep now? So we had 9 things here. I mean, I can toss out one that honestly we haven't even started yet, but it's going to be something that we're definitely going to be doing in the future, where it's basically like when I go and press publish on some of these podcasts, or Jake's our podcast producer. He's the one who does it all now. When we go and publish them, like really the only way that the guest knows is if we like tag them on social, which we do most of the time. But like, aside from that, there's really like very little communication, you know, maybe like I'll DM them and be like, hey, here's this Google Drive folder with like a couple different assets with like videos and things like that. But like what I would love based on some of the podcasts that I've been on in the past is like, just send them an email. Like, hey, what's up, Ryan? Like, just so you know, your podcast is being published today. Here's some assets. No obligation to share, but you know, if you want to, like, this is always some fun stuff for TikTok, whatever. That to me is always really solid. And I might start having Naomi send those just as a follow-up, because from my standpoint, like, it makes the guests have a better experience, maybe gets us better distribution. And it's just like less work off my plate.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that. I think that you should do that. Absolutely. Someone did that for me and like they send me a couple assets and like it was easy for me to like just post it. You know, we all know what like Twitter does to links. Like it absolutely decimates links, but if send somebody a video like here's like a short voice clip of you talking, that's easy to share on Twitter. The other thing that's just kind of like that is getting reviews. So like if you run any kind of local business or a small business of any kind, you have to ask customers for reviews, and automated like email campaigns are fine, but like especially if it's like B2B or you know, and they're really giving you a nice testimonial, I always recommend like send, like for our cleaning customers, like sending them a text or an email that says like, hey, we like really enjoy working with you. Thank you for being a customer of ours. Like if you would leave a Google review at this link that says something like X, we would really appreciate that. Send the instructions with it. Send a proposed message like, we worked with Ace Cleaning. It was wonderful, et cetera, et cetera. So many times, like I've had like 5 times where they put the exact thing that I said, you know.
Super smart. Yeah, we just, the 2 storage facilities that we just acquired, neither of them had websites or Google listings set up. So like we're now in the process of like, we have to go and like set up Google listings and like start getting visibility there. Like the downside of these things, but also like a huge upside. We're like, you're telling me like the only way people knew about you guys before was word of mouth and drive-by traffic? Like fantastic. I'll take that every day of the week. So yeah, that's something we're definitely thinking about too, especially whether it's like tenants or like we're trying to have contractors leave reviews and things like that, which have been really helpful. Another thing that we've been doing personally a lot of, and this isn't like, this will be number 12, but like it, no one's gonna listen to this and be like, that's groundbreaking stuff, is a lot of data entry stuff. So it's like, hey, I need you to scrape a list with these parameters. Hey, I need you to go and put together this spreadsheet and this mail merge function, and then like send out these letters to like these 22 tenants. I think that might be somewhat more of a niche example, but it's been really helpful for us, especially, you know, I think I've told you before, but we like buy and sell land too. And so like, that's been really helpful for like mailers and all of that kind of stuff as well.
I've got another one for you. So one of the ones that I'm actually doing personally myself is, and this doesn't work, like this doesn't really work with using someone in the Philippines, but I work with someone, on a daily basis on my Spanish. So I got connected with a guy down in Venezuela and I do Spanish lessons with him. Cause like done Duolingo, but like, does like, everyone like says like, oh yeah, I've been using Duolingo and now I'm like level 3 Spanish. And like usually no one really learns that much from Duolingo. I have all these like children's books that are in Spanish, read them with my tutor. And then like, I read them to my son, but yeah, I mean, it's going amazing. Like I've tried to learn Spanish a bunch of times and, like I'm making a ton of progress. I think I pay him about as much in like one lesson that he would make like a, you know, it's pretty good. It's $300 a month is how much I pay him. No, it's great. And it's a win-win. I mean, he loves it.
Because I know with Spanish in particular, there's a lot of different dialects.
Yeah.
Have you guys like covered that at all? Where it's like, hey, like you might be saying this one word when in reality, like you say that down in like South Florida or like whatever like that, and people are going to look at you weird.
Yeah, we go through a lot of that. He'll say like, this is like more how what Mexicans would say, you know. But the thing about Spanish is like, they all like, even though there's different dialects, it's like, you know, you come from Britain and you speak in, you know, if you speak in the US, like people still understand you.
100%. Yeah. I know, Jake, who's, like our podcast producer, he also works at Adidas. And like when we were first chatting, and he's going to listen to this right now too. When we were first chatting, he's like, oh yeah, you know, like I work over at, Adidas. And I was just like, where do you work? And he's like, oh, right. Like you Americans call it like Adidas. And I was like, ah, yeah. Okay. So I know what you mean, but it sounds a little bit different. Out of curiosity, like why are you learning Spanish? Just to learn it? Just something you want to get into?
My wife is like 100% fluent. She's great with Spanish. And so, you know, I've wanted to learn it for a long time, but like now I have a really good reason. And so we're talking to him in Spanish and it's fun.
And I feel like you should celebrate it too by like taking a big trip to like Spain or Mexico or somewhere like that afterwards, where it's like, you know, once you're a year in, you go out and you're like, okay, now we're putting this into the test. 1 week, no English, let's go.
Yeah. So we were supposed to go to Costa Rica for our like honeymoon. And then the whole global pandemic thing happened. Now we're married. Her name is different. So like we have to get a new passport, all that kind of stuff. So we're almost there. We're almost like, we're probably going to go this fall, but like the plan is, yeah, to hit a lot of South America.
I got to check it out. I've been all over Europe and stuff like that, but I'm actually going over to Costa Rica for pretty much all of June with my brother for like a little surf jiu-jitsu camp and whatnot. So I'm super excited for that, but yeah, definitely. I think it's worth, after you get a couple more lessons under your belt, just go down and just unleash the Spanish.
Amazing. Enjoy it. Yeah. That's going to be, yeah. And I think it'll be fun. Yeah, for sure.
Let's do two more here too, because I want to round out this list. I think we're at 13 right now. We got everything from Notion to bookkeeping to learning Spanish, podcast distribution, and meal prep. What else do we have? Maybe one more personal one and one more, maybe more like business-esque one.
Personal one, like everybody's like sat on like phone calls with customer service or dealt with customer service, either with their bank or like you have a flight that gets changed or canceled or like whatever. There's nothing more frustrating. Or like even a doctor's office, right? Like you're like waiting on the phone for like an hour. So it's like you can have your VA call in, and then just like once they pick up, you can transfer the call to you. So call in with a US based phone number to your doctor. As soon as they finally pick up, transfer it to me. We start talking.
Oh, that's cool. I like that one a lot. Yeah. If Gio listens to this episode, he's going to realize he was on the phone with Chase Bank yesterday for 2 hours. And then I get a call this morning from like our account reps, like, hey, just, you know, like everything's all settled, like you're good to go. And I was like, oh, Gio's going to be furious to know that he didn't have to be on hold for 2 hours. So I love that.
Amazing. Amazing. One more business one. I think a good one is I got here getting customer feedback. So that's a really important one. So like we all like sell people on stuff, and then we provide that service, and then we might send them an email that says like, hey, like, can you help me like figure out my net promoter score or whatever? And that's fine, but like, I don't like, do you respond to those emails? But if somebody asked me like, hey, like, what are your genuine thoughts? What could be better? Like, how could the product be better? Of course I'm going to like give them, you know, I'm going to give them feedback, genuine feedback. It'd take me 5 minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I got like one or two kind of like final wrap up questions on this though. So like, I feel like you gave us a ton of tactical stuff, which I like. That's exactly what I came into this episode wanting. Now on the overall, like the entire use standpoint, I hear stuff like, you know, waiting on the phone, doctor's appointments and banks and like booking travel and stuff like that. And when I think about all that, it often requires like either very personal information or credit card numbers, or like I just basically a handful of things that like realistically I'm pretty, Naomi has our credit card. She's got a bank account number. She's got a bunch of stuff. Right. And so we give her a lot of trust, and I personally have not been burned yet. So I'm speaking from that standpoint. And I know other people have. What type of precautions can people go and make to avoid any kind of, I don't know, just like the idea of being burned. Like if I have to go and say, hey, Naomi, like, you know, go and apply for a new credit card for me. By the way, here's my social security number. Like, and then next thing you know, I'm being hacked. Like, that's not something I want to deal with. And I don't think it's something I'm going to deal with. But are there any like precautions or steps that you can kind of put in place?
A few things. There's like a lot here that, you know, it's kind of like layers of like Swiss cheese. You stack them up on top of each other and hopefully nothing goes through. So you have like multiple layers of protection. one thing that we do is anyone that we hire, like we do a background check with them, right? So like a background check in the Philippines, like see if they've ever been like in trouble for anything really, but especially like fraud, that's a big one. We retain their government IDs. So, you know, like if they apply with us and we like place them with someone, we would keep their government IDs. So we know like a copy of it. So we actually know that it's them. Do video calls with everyone. A lot of people will hire VAs and like never like video, like, you know, do a video or audio call. There's a lot of people in like India that will pretend that they're in the Philippines so that they can work for you because they know Philippines has a good reputation. So you might want to make sure that the person you're hiring is actually that person, right? So like obviously do that. We definitely do that. There's many more things, but the general rule of thumb that I would say is like take the same precautions that you would with a US-based employee. If you're giving them a credit card, put limits on like either daily limits or, you know, single use like limits, like how much they can spend at one time. Don't give them like direct bank access to like ad transfers and stuff like that. I really don't see it happening like ever, but I mean, you should just take precautions the same way that you would with any employee. You know, the main difference between like, you're not probably going to go to the Philippines to sue someone, but if you do need to find a Philippines lawyer, you could, but the reality is like in most cases, you wouldn't go sue someone in the US either. Be careful, make the precautions that you need to make. And like, there's even more advanced things that you can do, like setting them up with a computer that's solely based for work. And then one thing that we do with all of our employees is we use an activity tracking software called WorkPulse, or excuse me, they just rebranded to Insightful. So if you check that out, it takes screen captures of what they're doing. So
interesting.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's like every 30 seconds or a couple minutes or something. And those are, you know, it's just good that they know that like we can check if we need to, right?
So that, yeah, I always heard of that stuff. I felt personally like that's a little too micromanagey, but I can understand from your standpoint, like where it is. Like from my standpoint, using something like that, like I said, like some weeks they're only gonna have 25 hours. I don't care if they're on Facebook because I'm like, hey, listen, you didn't have any other work that I was giving you at that time.
Yes. And I totally agree. So when I talk about you using activity tracking software, in a lot of ways that ends up becoming, okay, like it took them like 5 hours to do this Excel project. Why did it take them 5 hours? Did it by hand instead of using formulas? All I have to do is teach them how to use some formulas. It saves them time. But like, it's sometimes hard to know that if you can't actually see how they did things.
People want to go ahead and they listen to this podcast and they're like, dude, not only do I want to learn Spanish, but I want my meals prepped. I want to go and like start scraping some Facebook groups and like screening candidates and getting estimates and quotes. And I want to go and use Elevate and Delegate to go and hire people. How can they get in touch with you and how can they go and get started on that process?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, thanks for having me on the podcast and everything, Connor. If people want to reach out to us, it's easy to find me on Twitter. So that's Bryant Solentrop on Twitter or Soli Business. And then you can also reach us at elevateanddelegate.com. Just send us a message there and we'll be happy to, you know, schedule a call with you, talk to you through how we do things and see if it's going to be a right, good fit for you. Because obviously we don't want you to hire somebody if it's not going to be a good fit. But if so, we'd love to help.
If you thought today's episode was awesome, we would love it if you would leave a 5-star review on the podcast, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It makes a huge difference and lets us get cooler and cooler guests for future episodes.